And I forgot to pretend like I was going to tweet out the show exactly when you asked me to.
And Pablo even got here like earlier than usual. I'm proud of you.
So David, Dennis Jr., hello. Some things are happening that are strange today, right? Dominique's wearing a blazer. Alabaster forgot to send us the links to tweet out the show, which means that we're being watched by, I guess, just the same maniacs who actually do come to watch us deliberately. Thank you. I think Dominique called them commoners yesterday.
We don't have a name of like our viewers. I mean, obviously, I don't respect podcast listeners.
Unfortunately,
so
I don't know
what
why.
Do we call? I don't either. I don't know how this started, but I mean, it's a thing now, and I got to keep running with it. I think it's because I. We're doing something. Hey, we're just having fun. You don't gotta stop and explain stuff for them. They care about it. They got the YouTubes.
I do wonder.
We need a name for our hive, for sure.
Right.
We need a name for our hive. Yeah.
Right. Debatlers isn't good enough. You know. Yeah, but we want the word that I can't say because of cancel culture. You know what I'm talking about.
Here we go.
Alabaster, what should we call ourselves? Do you have a name, or would you rather us actually start the show that we forgot to tweet out?
You know, my brain, you might need to bonk me because I had the same bad joke that you had about what we should call our viewers. But so let's just move on and talk about it. Let's talk about a different bonking, and that's Aaron Donald. And we have the video for you guys to look at too. But my question, should the NFL punish Aaron Donald for trying to bonk members of the Bengals with a helmet?
Okay, so oh man, this video is I mean,
I think that's what they call a Donnybrook. I think that's a Donnybrook.
I went whale watching over the vacation, this reminded me of that, where it's like just a sea of stuff, and then out of nowhere emerges this apex predator orca with two helmets, two dead seals, and two flippers. And I'm like, oh, that's the top of the food chain. That's what that looks like.
Don't orcas kill for fun sometimes too?
They
or
take
like in sport.
Yes, they take the livers out of sharks. They kill great white sharks. Nothing kills them.
But they eat the livers in the sharks, right? Or are they just like playing a game, like find the liver?
It's honestly, it seems both art and science. Like, yes, they're doing this to ward off predators, but also they just like the taste. All of that seems to check out according to my extensive marine biology research. But Alabaster's question.
Hold on, put a pin in that. We're coming back to that. I'll respect Alabaster enough that we'll talk about this.
Honestly,
need a deep dive on these like fancy orcas that only eat shark livers. All right.
I wish I was still on that boat. No offense to you guys. Mentally, I'm still there. But David,
I feel like no matter what we were going to talk about, you were going to talk about your vacation.
And yeah, that's right. You know my guy.
I'm actually mad at this question, and I wonder if you guys feel at all similarly, because we're already going to the job of prosecutor. And I feel like, Dominique, we have to explain, like, does this happen normally, like guy two helmets bunking like that? Like
I like to like use my credential as former player to suggest that I have some deeper insight than the rest of you, but we got social media and y'all been seeing fights all preseason this year. Group or team or joint practice fights, and last year you saw them, the year before that you saw them. As I mean, ever since we got camera phones, y'all been seeing this. So you know what goes on. The helmet swinging, not that common. The double helmet swinging, never seen it before. and I'm with you. I would like to get to my own prosecutorial decision at some point, but I'm in no hurry. Let's enjoy it for what it was. No one got hurt. Like, and we got Aaron Donald being like the best at everything. Like, it tends to be the case when there's that one guy, that one athlete in school, like. He's not a great baseball player, but he's better than the rest of you all you normies. He's not a great basketball player, but he's just an athlete. And Aaron Donald, I don't know if he can fight or not, but I know he's better than the rest of these normies because he's like, you know what? Where did he even get them from? Did he rip these off?
No, I want to, David, we need to break down this video just in the terms of order of operations.
Hold on, last thing. We need to be able to like get discovery. because yes. all practices are recorded from multiple cameras, from multiple angles. Ooh. And every team that I play for, this is where my former player insight comes from. Every team that I play for, the coaches told the camera guys, you roll on fights. You don't cut on fights. You roll on fights. So there is a full 360 degree view of this thing from start to finish somewhere.
Did y'all used to watch the fights back? Like, yeah, is this what's...
absolutely.
Okay. Wait, David, what we've just learned is that NFL teams have the exact same philosophy as World Star.
Yes.
Yeah, without
and
the audio.
Funny. Yeah, same thing. They're still yelling. Just let them fight.
Yeah. No, this is. I mean, look, I do want to just. I hope we can do this because, as Dominique said, no one got hurt beyond the normal ways in which every NFL player gets hurt in the course of doing the job normally. But I hope we can laugh at just how absurd it is that this guy keeps on being this guy.
I was 100% sure that the heads were still attached to those helmets. Like, I was, the most surprising thing was that those helmets were empty.
Yes.
What? And again, now I can draw my knowledge and experience as a former player. That guy doesn't fight. Like, and the guy who is 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, he don't fight. Like, the best guy on the team, starters, 10, I mean, solidified guys who are in their second and third
the
contracts.
Best player in the league does
the
not
best
fight.
Player at his position in history, they tend not to fight in practice, at least. Like, I know we have to talk about Myles Garrett at some point in his helmet swinging. He's the best guy on that team, and he definitely did some fighting and helmet swinging. But yeah, fights happen in games, but we all know, so there's a ton of guys that are just trying to make the team. So those guys ain't going to fight the dude, because the worst thing you can do is hurt the guy that we need. You are gone. And even the guys who, like, won't get cut if they hurt that guy, they don't want to be the guy who throws our season off. If you hurt a guy in practice, in the course of actually doing normal practice stuff, people are fine with it, but you feel like shit. If you fight Aaron Donald, and normally guys like Aaron Donald know this, and like they play, and then they're like, all right, it is practice. It ain't with it for me. This is a joint practice thing. This can only happen in joint practices, because vets don't, I mean, they just tend not to do that.
Right.
And if you're the member of the Bengals and you start a fight with Aaron Donald and he rips people's arms off and you have an entire team of injured players, then yeah, you're probably getting in some trouble too, I would imagine.
The story that we got is, Aaron Donald was not in what I read. He just was like responding. So like Lyle Collins, right? And Leonard Floyd.
Right, Bengals O-lineman.
Yeah, Lyle Collins, former Cowboys O-lineman, now on the Bengals revamped O-line. Him and Leonard Floyd, the defense or outside linebacker, edge defender for the Rams, went at it 3 separate occasions. And for whatever reason, there were periods of special teams in between. For whatever reason, the coaches kept sending them back out there to go up against each other in 11-on-11 drills, and they kept fighting. And which is why, once we finally get to the punishment part of this, it's not the players, it's the teams.
Well,
like, it's the teams.
So should we just explain? Actually, I want to understand this. Explain it to me. Like, why joint practices are a good idea? Because it seems like the logic of it is, well, we need something that's more amped up than a normal practice where guys don't actually want to hurt each other. But at the same time, I was reading about how, I believe, like, Bengals management, the brass, top down, were like, let's just not make any headlines here. And then this is the most notable joint practice headline I can recall.
I mean, there are 31 teams you can schedule joint practices with. The one that beat you in the Super Bowl? Not a great idea. Like, harboring some resentment. So, like, the joint practices, they help to, like, liven things up. They make it a little bit more fun for your team instead of going against your own guys. You can, like, practice things that you haven't seen before. Like, there is some value to joint practice. But it does increase the opportunity of this stuff.
Risk.
Why are interjections no longer Italian? What's going on?
Yeah, what happened to the interjectinos, Alabaster?
I have that, but I have to ask you this question. How can we blame the team when Aaron Donald just bonked people on the head with a helmet? That's not the team's fault. That's Aaron Donald's fault.
But is it? But is it? But there no, is it? No, no, I feel no. like Dominique. There is
Hold
the
on.
Chris
Time
Rock
out, Pablo.
Thing. Okay.
Play the video again, and then Pablo, you can say whatever you want to say. Just play the video again, Alabaster, and think about what you said. It is a mass of people who who are killing machines.
But he's the only one bonking. He's a solo bonker.
So that's the thing, Alabaster. It's like you want to isolate his bonking as if he
you
just walked
shame.
Up and, as if he just walked up and started bonking. He didn't. He just did it. But he's in a fight where anything can happen at any moment. He just did it better than the rest of y'all. Like, I'm not good. If you get mad at me because I'm in a bar fight and I swing a bottle at you, that's on you. You should have thought of it first.
Oh, wow.
Like, allowing
now
it to
I understand.
Escalate.
Now I understand Dominique's psychology better, Alabaster. Yeah, that's a good clarification that we got there.
Don't open the door. Don't open the door to it.
I understand why there are a lot of fights in practice in football because people may be thinking like Dominique when they go on the
because,
field. So.
Because there are
no. It's not they make you think like Dominique. That is how it is.
They so
it
no.
Is
it's
dog
also
dog.
It's also no, they selected.
I won't have it. I won't
oh
have
my God.
It.
The you dog listen, inside of Dominique listen, is trying to eat the dog listen, outside listen. Of Dominique.
Dogs don't actually eat dogs that often, but you get the point that I know of. But imagine that you had a dream when you were a little boy, and now what stands between you and that dream is outplaying the man across from you in practice. Yes, intensity is going to be high, and sometimes it requires the person who's supposed or the people who's supposed to be supervising this thing to see that we just had three fights in a row. Or forget that, to know that the animosity between two teams that months ago had a Super Bowl that was decided on the last play.
By Aaron Donald. Chasing Joker.
Maybe we don't schedule this joint practice. Yeah. And then to watch them fight three times and keep it going. So yes, Aaron Donald should not be swinging two helmets. But I'm of the belief that if you are in a Donnybrook, you got a Donnybrook.
So there are two revelations here. There truly, David, there are no Queensberry rules, no parliamentary procedures for NFL fights. If you have a bottle accessible to you, you are grabbing that bottle and you're doing whatever you can with that bottle. The second thing, though, I mean, and this is where the Chris Rock sort of line came to my mind. It's like you are asking a tiger to just go tiger. Yeah. Right? Like, I just find it very, the calibration, to Dominique's defense, right? The calibrations of violence.
I don't need defense. Clearly, I know how to defend myself. Ask Aaron Donald. I will. Pablo, you speak like
all
someone who
I
never
have.
Had their ass beat.
I am undefeated when it comes to ass beatings. I also have a 0-0-0 record.
Exactly. That's what, those people who are like parsing the decisions that could be made in the middle of a Donnybrook are people who have never been near a Donnybrook.
All I have is jokes about Dominique playing defense in the NFL when he says that he does not need help defending. But I want to get to the idea.
This is what we do. We just make fun of people who can do things that we could never do.
Correct.
I couldn't unfasten two helmets from my children if I could. And he ripped them off of grown.
I wouldn't know how to put on a helmet, let alone take one off. So all of these points are fair.
He's an undersized D lineman.
But let's talk about that, right? Because we're talking about the psychology of a guy who is, at the very least, extreme, right? Among all of the dogs inside of other dogs inside of other dogs, Aaron Donald has the most dogs contained inside of his body. And I think part of it, Dominique, is the fact that he was not the best player in the league from the start of his trajectory, right? He is allegedly, I mean, he's been, Aaron Donald, weirdly, I think, has felt something like me. Insofar as he has been the smaller guy when it comes to being on the field, right? Like, that's part of the hilarity of how do you get this mix of just like tightly coiled muscle.
Nope,
Dominique.
Nope, nope. Nope.
I am Aaron Donald. Yes, I am Aaron Donald.
We're the same.
We're the same. We're roughly 6 feet tall. Who's to say round up or down? Roughly.
I make jokes about how you contort every topic into being about you. But somehow, this is a contortion too far.
I mean, this is impressive, right? This one was impressive.
Like, You said that that's how you feel when you're on the field. What field? Like, you actually are the opposite of Aaron Donald. Like, you.
Okay, let's Pablo, tell us what you did on your vacation.
Yeah, like,
you
just, yeah, just get it in. I like that. That's good.
Just get it out.
So, the answer is,
let's give you 60 seconds to talk about you.
The answer is respectively. Number one, the varsity debate field. And number two, the Salish Sea off of Washington State. Yeah, guys ever gone whale watching? It's the best. It's the best. It's like going to Jurassic Park. People need to know about this. It's like going to Jurassic Park.
Let me explain to you.
A dinosaur might show up. The largest creature on Earth might show up. You don't know.
Let me explain to you why you are not Aaron Donald. What was your rank in your class?
You mean like academically, or you mean like on the varsity debate field? Because either way, I was pretty damn high up there, buddy.
Exactly. Exactly. My point exactly. That was not Aaron Donald. Like, Aaron Donald is the opposite. You have no idea what Aaron Donald is experiencing. Like, success was expected of you. You were expected to do the things. You were not undersized. You were not presumed.
Oh, I see. You're knocking my argument down by complimenting me, which is
I'm not complimenting
That's
you.
A PhD
I could,
level.
I could argue that actually you are the opposite of Aaron Donald. You have underachieved given your academic prowess. Like, oversized. True. You're a huge, strong.
Oh my
strong,
God. I'm Jamarcus Russell.
No Pro Bowls. Yes, you are Jamarcus Russell.
And now you're talking to Dominique and myself.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. That would be the opposite of what of a Super Bowl winning tackle.
I should be throwing down in the Supreme Court justice chambers instead.
Exactly. You should be. That's where that's your trajectory. I would like to find everyone else that went to your high school in all the years before and after you that had a similar class rank to you. And I want to find where they are right now. Or we could go to your fancy college.
They're not wearing the same shirt that they wore on a fake television show today that they did yesterday, which is unfortunately Alabaster, where we've landed with this topic.
All right, way to go, Jamarcus.
Ready to move on? All right.
Got a cannon, though. Yeah.
A lot of
absolute
money, too.
Howitzer. All right.
Allegedly, some lean. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Let's move on. Got sound for you to listen on this one. But my question, was it fair or unfair for Charles Barkley to call KD Mr. Miserable? Let's take a listen. Ooh.
He piggybacked on the Warriors to win his first two championships. But if you go back and look at his career, as the best player and being a leader that all goes with that, he's been an abject failure. I mean, every time he's been like the guy who has to be the leader and the best player, he has not had success. He just seems like a miserable person, man. I call him Mr. Miserable. He's never going to be happy. He was a man in Oklahoma City. They loved him. He owned the entire state. And then he bolts on them and goes to the Warriors. He wins back-to-back championship, and he's still not happy. He goes to Brooklyn. They give him everything he wants, and he's still miserable. That's why I call
him. Wow. I just love the construction of he is blank. That's why I call him Mr. Blank. Just a great troll.
It is a great troll.
Charles, that's a C-minus from Charles Barkley. Yeah. You can do better than Mr. Miserable. I've come to expect better. that's not even a double-double from Barkley. You got to give me something more creative than that.
I disagree. I get what David's saying, Dominique. I just think that Charles Barkley has, in the course of just insulting Kevin Durant on and off for years now, has identified the thing that is the wound that is most effectively picked, which is that, Kevin Durant's not loving his life as much as he wants to. And there's a larger conversation there about who is exactly doing that, who is actually Mr. Happy, really.
Charles Barkley?
But Charles Barkley might be the guy with the most plausible claim to be, calling himself Mr. Happy.
Mr. Happy. So it's dumb and inaccurate. And I mean, he got to the NBA Finals with OKC. He got to the Western Conference Finals with OKC. So like, that part is what jumped out to me more than anything, is that Charles Barkley said he is an abject, his career has been an abject failure. What?
I just skip over that part.
Yeah, like that, maybe he is miserable. Like, I can't get into his head. I don't know. And I do think that he wishes his career has gone differently. And as someone, again, drawing my experience as a player, there are plays in games that I still think about and still like, piss me off right now, decisions that I should have made differently. So when I think about KD, I always think about the 2016 Western Conference Finals when they were up 3-1 on the Golden State, the 73-9 Golden State Warriors. And then in the very next potential closeout game, KD went for 40 points. And then they lost, I think, 29 and 30 in the next two games. They lost all three of those games. I just imagine, because before then, and up until that point, he was like the opposite of LeBron James, who LeBron was like the enemy of the world. He was like the way superstars are not supposed to be.
LeBron was doing the decision. KD was re-upping by press release in direct contrast.
Right. And so had he been able to knock off that unbeatable team, he likely would have stayed in OKC. I don't know if they would have won the finals, whatever, but we will be dealing with, it just feels like that was the origin story.
That's the time machine. NBA's,
yeah.
That's where he would set the time machine to, is what you're saying. Yeah, and I agree. I agree with you. That's a convincing case.
That's the one point game where things went wrong.
Game six is probably one of the most pivotal.
Klay Thompson.
What if was such a good
changing
game.
The trajectory.
Didn't Klay Thompson go for 40 in that game?
That was clear. The Klay Thompson game. The Thunder were up double digits most of that game.
Yes.
I mean, the Thunder, people talk about them going 3-1 against the Warriors. They just beat the Spurs right before then, who I think won, what, 67, 69 games? So they'd won like six out of seven games against these two juggernaut teams. And Klay, and you just happen to have Klay Thompson having one of the most miraculous games that you'll ever have. They lost the Warriors at home twice that year. And I think Steph and Klay combined for like 25 threes in those two games. Like it just happens. The irony though of Barkley calling KD's career without the Warriors an abject failure is that KD's career without the Warriors kind of looks like Charles Barkley's career. A little bit like one finals appearance, lots of all-stars.
That's a fair point.
Leaving out of one team to go lead another team. And then toward the tail end of your career, joining what was supposed to be a super team, and it sort of falls apart. Like, there is a parallel here, and it's neither one are abject failures, and I think Charles Barkley may want to take that back.
But that's Alabaster had an interjectino, and then he withdrew the interjectino. But I just want to point out also that might give Charles Barkley the leg that he did not – I mean, he didn't need any legs to make these jokes, but that's his job, is to make jokes baselessly. But the fact is, like, Charles Barkley, more than anyone else, does know, like, the calculus of happiness, I think, more intimately than, say, Michael Jordan does, right? The guy who did not get the actual signifiers of conventional triumph did fashion a life for himself out of quote-unquote failure. And I think that's where he may see a different path to be dunked on in Kevin Durant.
I wonder if he's like, give us that, where is the interjectino?
Yeah, we're missing anyway, that card, Alabaster.
Interject for us, Alabaster.
All right, so grabbing the interjectino card. Pablo, I'm glad you brought up that point, because I actually do think that's a huge part of the Durant-Barkley discourse, is that Barkley sees himself and Durant in a lot of ways. He sees not just being an odd-bodied power forward, even if they have the opposite bodies. It's just the fact that these were the guys who knocked on the doorstep of the greatest players of their generation and then sort of got forced by NBA discourse to take their place a step below. And Durant, unlike Barkley, fought against that. He went to the Warriors. He created his own super teams. He won championships. He tried to escape that, where Barkley embraced it and became a fun guy. I think that's
also
fascinating.
Also, part of my trip was fun guy. Yeah. But anyway, continue.
Just a completely fascinating fascinating sort of psychological thing of, like, would Kevin Durant have been happier had he not done this? But the one thing I want to push back on, Kevin Durant sucked in that game six. It wasn't just that Klay was great. KD was 10 for 31, 1 for 8 from 3. Couldn't post up Klay Thompson down the stretch of that game. And it's weird that was a pivotal moment. We call it the Klay game, but, like, you know, Durant's one of the 12 best players of all time. You're 7 feet tall. You can't go 10 for 31 in that game also.
Well, that's the moment he wants back. That's the game he wants back, right?
I won't stand for the slander, so you stop it. Okay, he can't be perfect in every game. He was the leading scorer for the final, I mean, for that entire series. I went back with the express intention, looking at those stats, to blame this all on Russell Westbrook. really hard to do, honestly. I didn't rewatch the game, but from a statistical standpoint, really hard to do. Like, even efficiency wise, he was like un-Westbrookian in his efficiency. So bravo.
There is also,
I've been sitting on this for a second. Last thing. Sorry.
What you got? It's all good.
Alabaster, you can't knock on doorsteps. All right, go ahead.
Oh, that's a good point.
You said he's the guy who was knocking on the doorstep. Like, you knock on doors, you stand on steps, but whatever.
This is why you guys are the talent and I'm not, because I mix metaphors. My bad.
That's not a mixed metaphor.
That would never fly.
Mixed metaphor. I did it again.
Would be
like knock on a window would be, I guess, mixing a metaphor if you like climb through.
That would never fly in Pablo's debate class or yeah. team or whatever.
Get it together. I feel like you're getting outplayed.
My debate class team is a safe space for mixed metaphors, for the record. If anybody is in favor of
mixed metaphor,
knocking on metaphors. Anyone who's in favor of knocking on metaphors, it's me. Yeah.
If I can take two metaphors and knock them like Aaron Donald together. Well, I think the
MVP of the show right now.
That's really good.
I think the other irony here is that I think KD would have been better off in Charles Barkley's era. Like, KD is a supreme basketball player, right? He's like one of the best scorers, and he might have just been better off in the era when you could just sign an 8-year deal and play basketball. Like, he is not a player empowerment person. That is not his strong suit. He cannot politic like LeBron.
Yeah.
He seems to make the wrong moves.
I agree with
that.
The
social media stuff is bad. Like, everything he does is bad for his quote-unquote brand. But if he were just allowed to, like, if he were in a position where he was drafted to OKC and he had to stay there for 8 or 10 years and he couldn't leave, he would probably be more beloved than he is now. I don't know how much happier that would make him, but he seems more equipped to be like a 90s style mercenary basketball player, sort of like Barkley and Drexler and Dominique Wilkins and all these sort of players in the 90s were.
So first of all, I would like to point out that I don't know who, I feel like Jamarcus Russell isn't fair to you, Pablo. You've achieved better than that.
Oh, really?
But you're the quarterback of this team, and we're in the modern era of NFL offenses. But today, our running back, David Dennis, is making all the plays. So, like,
I know.
Davis Dennis Jr. is making all the plays. So, we are, I don't know who you are. We'll figure it out by the end of the show.
I'm running play action, Dominique. You've missed this because you need help defensively, but I've been running play action with David Dennis for like 18 minutes.
Well, you play action and then you throw a screen pass back to David Dennis? Like, who is the play action to?
This is, you know what?
The people playing Debatable Fantasy right now who picked me in late in the round
are overjoyed.
So my PPR is through the roof right now.
They're mixed metaphor numbers currently. Yeah, they're skyrocketing.
I like that. I hadn't thought about that. And we always talk about the player empowerment era as something that the players wanted, but it also feels like something that is required of them. Like, it is a new skill of a basketball player. Of a modern basketball player is required of you to like also be kind of a GM / franchise owner. And
at the very top,
don't want to be that. And like, when the Celtics put together their big three, then LeBron was like, all right, this is the new NBA. And he actually is like emotionally and like socially built for it. It worked out for him pretty well.
Wired that way.
Wait, great contribution right there. You picked up a fumble. Somebody dropped the ball and built on it. Well done.
Let me roll like a log into the end zone untouched here, just because I do believe that Kevin Durant has said as much. And Dominique he does not like it when I compliment his points because it seems like it's charity. But I think we don't make enough of how Kevin Durant has said all of this repeatedly. And we always dismiss it as him trying to disguise his secret plan. But I think he just doesn't actually enjoy it and is not good at it. And the order of operations there, which came first, chicken or egg, I don't know. But all I know is that dude wants the hoop. And that when it comes to like, hey, do you want to meddle in other stuff? He's very clumsy at it. He doesn't want to do it.
Sort of reminds me of journalism a little bit. Like, there wasn't, like, 20 years ago, you could just write articles. But then now it's like, tweet it out. tweet out a thread, do all this stuff. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, people, like, careers have been
hit
lost
the nay-nay after posting your long form feed.
Right. Let's TikTok this article. And everybody's like, what the hell is going on? I just want to write articles, but you need it to sort of survive.
I'm with you. I see Jamel Bowie on TikTok, like, trying to explain his article to people, and it makes me a little bit sad. Like, he's actually one of the people who's kind of good at it. But the idea that, like, a public intellectual, a New York Times, like, opinion writer is out here trying to walk his dog and explain to you why you should read the piece that clearly you're not going to read now is kind of sad. And I agree with you. I feel like I am not built for this era. We talk about players not being built for eras based on their skill set, but not about their, like, psychological makeup. And I think it's fair to say that KD was not built for this new era of, although he feels pretty comfortable.
No, well, that's the thing. No. I was gonna raise that point. I think, as hard as it is to imagine and admit, Alabaster, I know you've checked this topic like minutes ago, but I do believe that Kevin Durant, if he were to become Mr. Happy or Mr. Happier, it would involve like the dial-up modem. Like, I think the internet has been a bad influence on Kevin Durant. And I believe that because it's been a bad influence on all of humanity. But certain brains got sucked into it. And it's totally, I say this as someone who relates to it. It's just, it's better without the access.
Yeah, I agree. Let me go back to one thing. To be clear, this marriage that we have, Pablo, it's pretty strong. However, I've been trying to explain something to you about my love language for quite some time, and you refuse to pick it up. It's not that I don't like to get compliments. It's that I don't like when those compliments feel like they are from sympathy. So, like, if I tell you I had a bad show, I don't want you to be like, oh, no, it was a good show. I know it was bad. And so if I make a good point, I don't mind you saying it's a good point because I know it's a good point. If I make a bad point and you say it's a bad point, I appreciate it. I make a bad point, and you're like, "Oh no, it was a good point." Like,
oh, wait, so sorry. I want to.
Is that their Pablo impersonation?
It is.
Spot on.
That's his love language, incidentally. Also, allow me to translate before I throw it to Alabaster here. What Dominic actually wants to hear, which is, you're right.
Boom.
Love you too.
I'll give you the honest opinion. All of your KD simping, bad points. but. If what I do want to bring up a tiny bit is that, Pablo, I think you're onto something. No internet, the Nets might have a championship. Not because of Kevin Durant. Kyrie's brain might still be intact.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, imagine that guy without the internet.
My first story at ESPN, speaking of long-form journalists who have become circus clowns, my first story was a profile of Kyrie. I went to his apartment. We hung out for like a couple days. I didn't see any of this coming, and that makes me a bad reporter on the one hand, but I'd like to blame it on the internet. So, yeah.
Last time I checked, 48 Laws of Power still comes in print.
So. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Is, can you tell me who Kyrie was back in the day? Because eccentric is eccentric. If that's the right word, I think that there's probably a harsher word I could use, but I think you guys are wrong. This guy finds this stuff no matter what. It's not the internet's fault. Do not blame it. It's like money. Money doesn't make you bad. It just makes you a more honest version of yourself because you don't then have to pretend to be something else to make people happy. So the internet did not make KD sad. It did not make Kyrie into a conspiracy theorist. It just made him a superpowered version of that.
I will also say you can't be miserable with this type of recreational activities KD has talked about doing off the court. So,
I agree.
But you can't be, your misery level can't be that high.
We didn't talk about that specifically because I wanted to talk more about the basketball stuff, but like, I don't agree that KD is miserable. And I don't agree that the internet is any worse for him than it is for the rest of us. Like,
But I do think, Dominique, that the clearest, shortest path to seeming miserable is to claim I'm not miserable.
Agreed. But I do think that I don't know if David agrees with me because I sincerely care about his opinion because it's going to be honest. But I think my point that KD was not right for this era is not about the internet as much as it's about the requirement of players, of superstar players, to be also be general managers. Like, I don't think that this, I don't know. The way that people behave on social media, like there's an expectation that KD not behave like the rest of us do on social media, but he does. And to me, that doesn't mean that he's any more miserable than anyone else. So while I do think that he would have been better served back when people or players just got drafted and then played ball and trusted everyone else to make the decisions around them, I think he would have been more comfortable in that era. I think that's fair and true. I don't think that the internet is like bad for him or he's worse because of
it. Just really quickly, David, before you go. Dominique, do you have a burner account?
No.
Okay, he's more miserable than you online.
Not true. Maybe the fact that he got it out made him happier than me. Maybe I need a burner account so that I can get these things off my chest and be happy.
It feels like Dominique is Kevin Durant's burner account, but David, please continue.
No, I actually think I would be happier with a burner account. I think I would actually be like shout out to Twitter for the new Twitter circle thing where you can just have like a couple friends see your tweets, because it is ham sandwich in there when I'm firing off hot takes. And I love it. It's better than having a burner. But I think that Katie, I agree.
You can control who gets your tweets now.
Yeah, I didn't know
like
that.
A little Twitter. There's a thing called a Twitter circle, and you can like only have, it's like close friends on Instagram. So you just fire off takes like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to do debatable with these guys again. And only your friends see it.
Yeah.
You know, your bosses don't see it. It's just great. It's fantastic. You know, but yeah, no, I think KD, from what I understand, enjoys the social media stuff.
Like, oh, and David Dennis Jr. is Steph Curry's burner account. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Please continue. Yeah,
yes, I am. Yes. Shout out to him. He's getting a jersey retired at Davidson next week. I'll be there. Have a good time. That's so anyway,
he's going.
What? Why would he not? Why would he not go?
Because it feels like an honor that should have been bestowed long ago. Like, I feel like he's past that now. It's not like he's going to get his jersey retired at UNC.
That's just the Davidson Safety School, first of all. But when you go to a prestigious institution like Davidson, you have to have graduated before they retire your jersey. So he just graduated. They're retiring his jersey next week.
That's embarrassing that they didn't just send that man a degree as soon as he won his first NBA finals.
They should have just renamed Davidson after Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's why we're Davidson, and UNC is like what you go to if you, you know, when you get the Davidson rejection letter. So anyway, I think that, I think KD genuinely enjoys the social media stuff. Like, I think that's something that makes him happy, even though he doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, the having to figure out contracts and moving players around and being friends with James Harden when you may not want to be, and all, and like talking to general manager, I think that's what makes him miserable. I think that, like, dealing with Kyrie and wondering about when he's going to play, that's the stuff that he does not want to do. That's separate than the social media. He just wants to score 40 points a night.
Yes. He's a hooper. He's what is he? I'm me, I do me, and I chill. A Twitter bio I can recite from memory because I've miserably read his Twitter account that often. Yes.
I recognize this person, though. And that person is not always miserable. Just because they aren't smiling and they aren't pretend or they aren't performing in the way that you want them to perform to show happiness doesn't mean they're miserable. Like, I think that some of this publicness is something that he does not appreciate. He actually is the athlete that so many people who hate him say that they want. It's like this guy who doesn't care about anything but playing ball and would rather be left alone. Like, I don't know him personally, met him a couple times, but we aren't friends. I didn't go to his apartment like Pablo and Kyrie. And I certainly didn't set KD on this path like Pablo did for Kyrie. But I do recognize this person that, like, I want to go to work, then I want to go home and watch Netflix, chill a little bit. I got a couple friends, but I'm an introvert. I don't even really want to hang out with them that much. Like, it's okay. Just because he's like, and so many of our athletes and public figures perform on social media. And since he's not performing, the assumption is that he's sad.
So I believe something to bring this full circle, hopefully, Alabaster. I believe that we see evidence, convincing evidence, that Kevin Durant isn't always super secure in his accomplishments. I think we see convincing evidence that Kevin Durant is not always very happy. I also think that the reason that stands out to us is because of a larger con, a capitalist con, that suggests that people who have made a lot of money and are very famous and are playing in the NBA should be a certain level of happiness. I think it's totally okay to be Mr. Miserable sometimes. That's the human condition.
I disagree with you. Like, I disagree with you. But, I mean, we can keep having this debate. I don't think I'm going to bring you around to the intelligent side. You can stay over there and be wrong all you want, Jamarcus.
Okay, Kevin.
Pablo, be honest. When you were at Kevin's apartment,
Durant?
Did you say, hey, man, I saw this really crazy documentary about the Brooklyn play. You should check it out. Be honest. Yeah. Tell us yeah. if we can blame you for all of this.
Now that you mentioned it.
Were there, I was like, basketball players, I feel like the spherical nature of the basketball should make them more inclined to believe that the world is also shaped like a basketball and not flat. I don't know why. I don't know. Yeah, we've clearly spent too much time on this topic.
Why isn't ball life in this case, Alex?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, beyond the spherical basketball, maybe just the fact that they're playing a game that's sort of defined by gravity. But anyway, I digress. Got a question. Do you guys want to do a couple quotes, or do you want to talk about Russ and the Lakers? Either way, we got 5 minutes left.
Let's do the quotes, because there's nothing to say.
Totally cool.
About Russ and the Lakers
that we're not going to say. All right. Yeah.
Let's not.
Can I just say that I'm so sad that we don't get a year of Patrick Beverley in Utah, and that is like I was looking so forward to like a reality show or something like live tweeting Patrick Beverley in Utah, and I'm very sad we don't have it.
Reverse Rumspringa. All right, Pablo, you got any takes you want to squeeze in on the Lakers?
We'll save it for a PTI later, which cool. I think we're going to do.
Great, great. All right, let's see these quotes. First one. We have a big staff now. I don't really do anything anymore. Honestly, I don't. I could not have a staff meeting for a week, and the thing would flow like normal. And your choices are Dabo Swinney, Mike Leach, Mike Gundy, or Kirby Smart.
Actually makes too much sense to be Mike Leach.
Any billionaire ever.
Yeah. My favorite rich guy, by the way, is the type of guy who's like too good to type. Like Magic Johnson, apparently his tweets get transcribed by someone else. Like I know many, many CEOs who are just like yelling their thoughts at people who have to go operate computers for them. I don't know though the answer to this question. Dominique, what do you got?
I don't either. Dabo's so full of ego, I can't imagine him saying that. Kirby Smart, I'm leaning towards Gundy. He seems just weird enough and just cocky enough to be the guy to do that.
Right. Business in the front, party in the back office where his giant staff is.
Oh,
I've got a big staff now. I don't really do anything anymore.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't.
How much does he get paid, by the way?
I have a staff meeting for a week, and the thing would
I'm Googling like... this. Oh, God. That's... Mike Gundy's salary, $7.5 million? 2022?
Oof. I thought you were down. Sorry, my wife.
Hi, Ashley.
Pablo said hi.
Hey.
Hi, Pablo.
David
hi.
Dennis says hi, too.
Who?
David Dennis Jr.
Oh, hi, David Dennis Jr.
Yes.
Sorry. Cool.
Next quote.
Wait, before we move on, can I show you a video from Mike Gundy that I really liked also that just happened? Because he's clearly been working on some other stuff, but he's not working on
football. Yeah, I want to know more about why we're doing this.
Please. Let's take a look at this, because this is afterwards.
Oh. That's impressive.
He did too?
That's impressive. That ain't easy.
So you guys 65 years old.
65.
That's impressive. That's
55. Skip a decade.
That, regardless of his age, he is too old to be doing that so capably. Yeah. Is there a nickname for that move? It feels like that move should have a nickname that we probably can't say on the show.
Well, I mean, there's lots of things that Mike Gundy is involved in that we should not say on the show.
I mean, can I just
his t-shirt collection comes to mind.
Can I rewind for a second? I'm pretty. It's become clear to me that Dominique has not mentioned my name a single time in his household. His wife had.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say that, but I noticed that too. And it's a hard way for all of our commoners to find that. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. So I'm just supposed to be walking around my house like, hey, David Dennis Jr. David Dennis Jr. Like that's what.
Why
I'm
not?
Because David Dennis Jr. is a good point.
Unlike Kevin Durant, once I'm done with work, I'm done with work. Anyway.
All right, guys, one more quote. Done it. One more quote.
That's why you're not in my Twitter circle.
Yeah, okay. I refuse to enter it. I will reject. Can I reject the Twitter circle invitation?
You're in there. You get jumped in.
Your burner will be added, though. Alabaster, we have a minute 13. What do you got? I'm sorry.
This quote is, first of all, I feel like a young man, all right? So let's clear that up. And your choices are Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Mack Brown, or Poppy Levitard.
Man, I saw an interview. I didn't hear the interview, but I saw the interview on mute at work yesterday of Nick Saban being interviewed, no socks, loafers. And I feel like this sort of jibes with the spirit of this quote. So,
you know, you're going on 71 years old. There it is. Maybe this is a young man's game. Ooh. But how important has it been for you to be flexible
all the way?
Well, first of all, I feel like a young man. All right, so let's clear that up.
That's somebody who's listening to that Drake album and just put on a fit.
Fresh. Yeah, he does have a like a world music vibe to him that he's just he's getting into some electronic dance music.
He's either on his way to or from Margaritaville, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
Nick Saban streaming the new DJ Khaled on the way to Margaritaville is the mixed metaphor that I think deserves to end our
show. DJ Khaled young, though? Like, I feel like people, like, when DJ Khaled came out this morning and I listened to the whole verse on repeat all morning long, I did not feel like I was being joined by young people. Like, I feel like...
How old do you think DJ Khaled is?
50.
45. I'm going 45.
46 years young. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, mm-hmm. DJ
Cement your
Khaled.
Status as MVP of the show today, David. Good job.
Man.
Carry the pill.
Yes. Man.
Thank God for that Jay-Z verse, because that album is bad, but...
Man. That song was like 8 minutes long also. They gotta like clip that out with TikTok of it. I'm not gonna sit through like bad Lil Wayne to get to good Jay-Z at this
point. You stop it. It's not bad Lil Wayne. I mean, it's not as great as Ho's verse, but it's not bad.
I mean, DJ Khaled makes noise. He doesn't make out noise.
Offensive.